From the Vegas Golden Knights, this is SLGND, presented by Allegiant. I'm Justin Russo. Warm weather, blooming flowers, and Golden Knights hockey. Things those of us in Las Vegas are quite accustomed to this time of year. After an 82-game regular season, the Vegas Golden Knights are back in the Stanley Cup playoffs for the sixth time in the franchise's first seven seasons. Now, once again just 16 wins away from a championship, the Golden Knights begin the playoffs in Dallas to take on the top-seeded Dallas Stars. Ahead of Game 1, the guys look at what it took for Vegas to reach this point, how the Golden Knights stack up with the Stars, and what each team must do in order to win the series. Without further ado, here's Dave, Shane, Dan, and Gary.
So it's been a while for this quartet. Some people think that's a good thing. But the Sheriff Lawless Some Guy Named Dave podcast coming to you from City National Arena on the eve of the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs for the Golden Knights. Some games have already been played, obviously, throughout the league. But the VGK get going round one, game one in Dallas on Monday night in a rematch of what was round three in the West Final last year. Guys, it's... I don't know how you feel about the regular season. Sometimes it goes by fast. Sometimes it goes by at a glacial pace. But it's been a grind, Shane, for them. You know, Bruce Cassidy touched on this. Just to get back here to have a chance to defend their championship.
And that's the goal for every team, right? You start the regular season. You know, it's a long, you said, you grind. It's tough. But you want to get to playoffs. Once you get there, then it's a whole new season. That said, you know, and Kelly McCrimmon, I think, said in his, you know, I'm tired of talking about it too. They dealt with injuries. I don't think we need to get into that. We've all seen it happen year after year, it seems, here with the Golden Knights. So certainly not as smooth as you'd like. You'd love to, you know, win your division, win your conference if you can. But to me, the most important part is getting into playoffs. You get there, everything that's happened previously, which takes, you know, a toll on everyone through the 82 games, is wiped away. Stats, records, everything. All that matters right now is the playoffs, getting in there, taking care of business, and they've given themselves that opportunity. So it starts tomorrow for them.
They were uneven, right? Yeah. Great start. Injuries hit them. The question for me is, will it turn out to be a blessing in disguise? Will, because you don't want to be the best team in the regular season. You want to be the best team in the playoffs. Will those injuries allow their key guys, Petrangelo, Carlson, Eichel, Stone, to be rejuvenated as a result of the rest they had on their bodies while they were recovering from injury? Are they vulnerable? For sure. They haven't played their best hockey. Can they bring it together and figure it out and beat the best team, in my view, in the West, in Dallas? Sure. That's the series. It's either Vegas is not going to be able to get it together and get over what they've been through and turn it on, and they'll lose, or they will, and they'll win the series.
Dan, Kelly McCrimmon talked about in his media availability the other day that last year it was the All-Star break was kind of the turning point for the team, right, and they took off. And he felt this year was at the trade deadline. And I think, to Gary's point, one of the other key parts of it, though, last year was Mark Stone missed, you know, basically the second half of the year, and he missed the final 26 this year. But they basically had everybody else healthy, right? They had guys that missed time with injury, but they got them back way before the end of the regular season. And so we watch the skate as we tape this now, and the team's going through their paces getting ready to leave for Dallas. And you've got Petrangelo hasn't played in a while with the appendectomy. We know Stone's deal with the spleen. Mantha's missed the last couple of games. Stevenson. It is a little bit different that you've had guys miss some time here, and especially, you know, if he's not your best defenseman, he's in the running forward in Petrangelo and one of your best all-around forwards in Stone.
Yeah, and you throw into it, Dave, the fact that a couple years ago they were in first place at the All-Star break, and they went 500 afterward and missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so those late-season turning points, how much are those objects in the distance for players? You know, you come into a season, they had the great start, but – Bruce has talked about this. Players have talked about it. It's just human nature. You can't go 100% for 60 minutes for 82 games. It's impossible. You wouldn't make it. You'd be done by the regular season or long before then. So it's and Shane, you've been through this. How do you figure out mentally, physically to ride with it, but also not, you know, go over the top? I'm basically getting at the conserving energy point of view, mentally and physically, because it seems that teams with experience, which we all talk about, all the cups that have been on this team even before last year, that you learn when you can really dial it up and also when you might not have to push the pedal to the floor quite as hard.
Well, and I think that was a question we probably all asked ourselves a lot this season with this team, because you knew how good they could be and talented, and seemed like some nights, okay, there was 30, 40 minutes of it, but not full 60. Now that and you mentioned the experiences, that's going to be key. Playoffs brings, you know, it's already a built-in intensity and energy that's unmatched in any game you try to do in the regular season. That's in there. There's no motivation. The coach doesn't need to come in and give a rah-rah speech. Players are ready to go. Now it's a matter, you know, can they turn that switch, get to their game? There's experience in that room. They know how to play. They know what it takes to win. So you hope that there's, you know, is it rest versus rust is going to be a big question. I think because of the intensity and the excitement for playoffs, that helps shed it a little bit more and get quicker up to speed. But we'll see. This is what it's all about.
And I'll throw in one other wrinkle to that, because how quickly do certain combinations of players find chemistry? I mean, Tomas Hertl has looked great. He does a lot of things really, really well in different situations, but he's never played in the game with Mark Stone as a teammate, and it looks like they're going to be on the same line. And that applies to a number of others. You know, Alex Pietrangelo played some games with Hanifin, but then Pietrangelo has missed so many games, so most of Hanifin's time with the Golden Knights, he's been paired with Nicholas Hague. So Hague hasn't been with White Cloud in a long time. So you're getting back to some stuff that we might have seen in the past, but some other stuff that's brand new. How much tinkering happens going into the first game? How much happens during the game? And then how much happens over the course of the first round?
I wonder, Shane, about the goaltending, right? They split the final six games, Thompson and Hill.
Yeah.
You know, and Hill's had his struggles. Yet he's the guy that led them to the cup last year after Brossoit got hurt in that second round series. I think we talked about it on TV. Bruce Cassidy said, look, it is at every position, pretty much, who's playing better? Well, Thompson's been the better of the two here down the stretch, but has yet to play in the playoffs. So big decision to make heading into game one. Where do you sit on this?
It's really good because, you know, you're talking about someone with experience in this time of the year with Aiden Hill and what he did last year. Not a ton of experience, just last year.
Yeah.
And then Logan Thompson, and you're right. Logan's looked better coming in. Aiden Hill hasn't had a lot of starts, and there's been some rough patches heading into playoffs for him here and some goals. So how quickly does that turn around? I think at some point, most likely, we'll see both goaltenders. I think that's the way it'll be. For me, I think Logan Thompson, what he's done in his body of work here through the end of the season, to me would be the starter. Now, by the time people hear this, we could be announcing somebody else. And then, you know, see how that goes, right? I think he rides whatever goaltender is rolling until they think they need a change. And they have confidence in both guys. They talk about it. I think Aiden Hill, it also allows him to get more reps. Practice intensity will get up. I know they won't practice as much, but still, you can take shots. They're going to have a crew, timing and all that. So that's the best way to work through some of those issues he's had, maybe, is just working on, you know, practice time, and we'll see if that helps.
And we'll just do a quick flashback to where were the Golden Knights in the goaltending department at this time last year. There were more bodies, but there was still a great deal of uncertainty. Jonathan Quick was here, but he was not Jonathan Quick of 2012 or 2014. Laurent Brossoit had spent much of the year in the American Hockey League coming off of multiple injuries. Thompson was unavailable because of injury. Hill was unavailable because of injury. But they still found a way, made it work. Brossoit was excellent in the first round until he got hurt early in the second round, and Hill took him the distance. So the point is, you know, Logan Thompson might not have any playoff experience, but we've seen him in stretches at an excellent level. We've seen Hill at stretches, including last year's postseason, beginning of this year, at excellent stretches. So even though there's some difference and some similarity to last year, there's, I think, looking at the bigger picture, you've got an excellent goaltending coach in Sean Burke, and you also heard what Kelly McCrimmon and Bruce Cassidy have talked about, and Bruce addressed this specifically yesterday, that oftentimes the goaltender play is a reflection of how the team is playing in front of their goaltending, and not every team can necessarily say that. The Knights don't necessarily live and die with how well their goaltending is going. The group in front of them often dictates how well those goaltenders shake out, which is not to say you can have bad goaltending and still win a cup, but I think, Gary, you get what I'm sort of pointing toward.
Yeah, it's Logan Thompson for game one for me. He's earned it. He's been real good of late. He has had some dips this season, but he's bounced back, and if you look at the higher level, like Hill did have a real high level early on, but it's been since November since we've seen that version of Eden Hill. I think they need him. They're going to need both, like Shane said, but I go with Thompson, put him in there until he loses.
They don't have, look, and it's been this way for a few years. They don't have an Ottinger. They don't have a Hellebuck. They don't have a Vasilevsky. They don't have a Bobrovsky. That's just how they've done it. It worked out okay last year.
Right.
So, not to go too much on a tangent, one of the big criticisms in Boston last year was they went away from the rotation in the playoffs. They followed one plan all year and then went away from it. I don't know if that's the only reason that they got upset by Florida, but.
How do you take Swayman out after what he did, though?
I don't know. But they went with Omar, right? If you don't learn from history, I don't know.
Right. If you were to make a schedule for 82 games and you had, a certain goaltender for a certain number of games and you stuck to it, regardless of performance, and, injury would throw a monkey wrench into that, but would that be better? Take the emotion, take the recent play out of it so much. And Henrik Lundqvist said on the TBS broadcast, and it's hard to disagree with Hank, right? You go back to the guy who's hot. Yeah. But again, if you look at the big picture, regular season, 82 games, the long haul, that can be different than the Stanley Cup playoffs when four games can decide your fate.
We were having this conversation with somebody in Golden Knights management the other day, and he said, as a coach, it's so difficult to not go back to the guy you think, right? Yeah. Because for that reason. The guy you think is riding the hot hand. Well, over the course of a long season, that's one thing. This could be over with in no time in the playoffs. So that is no more important position, right, than in net.
They're both fresh, right? Thompson played the most, 45 games, right? So there's no wear and tear on these guys in that respect. I think it is exactly that. Put a guy in that's going to win a game for you until he doesn't.
All right, matchup with Dallas. Stars have a great regular season. Obviously, the number one in the West. Golden Knights won all three games. I don't really think it matters because Dallas won all three last regular season and lost in the Western Conference Final. So, as you look at it, Shane, matchup concerns, what comes to the top of mind?
I think it's the most similar team to the Golden Knights. You look around the league, so you look at Edmonton, you're talking about high-end talent, right? You got your McDavid, your Drysdale, same in Colorado with Nathan McKinnon. So then you look at the balance, the more teams that play team games, I think like Nashville, I think Winnipeg, and Dallas. Dallas is the deepest of that group. I think they've got balance. You look at their top nine, anybody can score, and they got a fourth line that matches up against anybody. Does this sound repetitive?
Yep.
They've got a good D-core. I don't think their D-core is as good as Vegas's. But you'd give the edge maybe to goaltending, Jake Ottinger. Last year, I think Ottinger, they ran him way too hard at the end of the year, and he ran out of gas in playoffs. That was a fault. He's a little more rested this year, so that's going to be a challenge. We were talking about injuries. We'll see. We had three players on the Golden Knights that played all 82 games. They have four guys in their top nine that played all 82 games. One of them, a 39-year-old. Actually, there are two 39-year-olds play all 82 games with Suter as well, and Pavelski. Is that going to be a little more taxing? I don't know, but they're a good team. This is a tough, tough challenge. That's why everybody said, who do you want to play, Edmonton, when it came down, Edmonton or Dallas? It doesn't matter. Your opponent's going to be there for the Golden Knights and Bruce, and they'll continue to hammer this home. The focus is on their game. Both teams know how to win. It's who's going to go out and execute it better. It's going to come down to the details, as Bruce said, a one-on-one battle, a loose puck battle, a play on the wall, creativity, a save. All those things add up. So who's going to do it better? Both these teams have the ability to win this series. I think the Golden Knights, it's interesting. We'll see how quickly they mesh because they are deep with all the health they have back.
Pietrangelo said yesterday, we have to play north-south, and we have to play behind them.
Puck management's going to be the key. Are they stubborn, or do they play the right way?
Stubborn is the word we use all the time. Yeah. So I asked him that. I said, how can you change that? And he looked at me, he said, I play straight, Stone plays straight, and we are going to talk about it. So that's the other thing that you don't hear about or that you don't talk about when those two guys are away. Stone is the captain. Pietrangelo might be the loudest guy on the team in terms of having things to say. They've been out, and this team has been stubborn, and I haven't liked their style of play on lots of nights. It's way too much east-west. We'll see. To me, that is the story. If you go out and you see the Golden Knights, I don't think they're going to be as good as they were in Game 6 against Dallas last year, but if that's the game plan and they're trying to execute that, they have a chance in the series.
Yeah, just logistically, I like what Bruce said to your question yesterday, Gary, about how there's one of them at either end of the bench. Stone's over here with the forwards. Petrangelo's over here with the defensemen. And just logistically, you've got those voices, and they're different. Petrangelo talks more, Stone more with his enthusiasm. But, you know, think about how many games they have played without those two players.
And there's another guy that we, you don't think about, but talk about straight north-south, and is a big leader in that room, as Will Carrier.
Yeah. It looks like the eye test. He's going to be ready for game one.
He plays. He might be, number one for north-south. There's no other game. You talk to him, he says, I don't have another game.
So we asked Bruce Cassidy, I remember this, Shane, before they played Dallas early this season, first time they'd met since that series. And I said, in retrospect, what was the difference last year? And we asked him again yesterday, and he pointed down the middle of the ice. There's some depth. Look at this. Hintz, Duchesne, Johnston, and Foxa.
Yeah.
Eichel, Hurdle, Carlson, and Waugh. That's pretty damn good. If you believe teams are built down the middle, which most people do, that's a lot of depth on the – I'm fascinated how that battle down the middle is going to play out as this series unfolds.
Well, it really is. I like that set. I think the Golden Knights have a little more of a defensive side built in. I think there's offense on both sides down the middle. Johnson's a 20-year-old, but he is a spectacular young player and led them in goals this year. But the experience factor, can you wear a guy down like that? The experience. Matt Duchesne's been in the league a long time, really skilled offensive player. He's strong. Is he going to buy in defensively enough? Hintz, I think, and Fox is your typical fourth line, a real good fourth line center. Roope Hintz is a star, but not only a Dallas star, but I think he's an incredible player. I still think the Golden Knights have the edge, but again, that all has to play out. It really does. But yes, Dallas is deep down the middle. They're deep in their top nine. They can score. No question about it. And Jake Oettinger, to me, he's one of the top goalies in the league when on his game. So talking about the north-south, you're going to talk about simplified pucks to the net, bodies. That's where the addition of Tomáš Hertl, I think, is huge in this series.
And we brought that up, Tomáš Hertl. It's an X factor that the Golden Knights have not had. And Pete DeBoer knows him pretty well, of course. But look at the faceoffs. Look at the power play. The faceoffs on the power play. The three of the four games, Hertl comes in and they scored two power play goals. And the one that they didn't, they had no power play chances. Just his presence, even if he himself is not getting those power play points, winning the draws, distraction in front of the goal. Yeah. I mean, that is something then would lead to the next point. You know, the Knights in 6 years have had some good stretches of power play production, but at what point has it ever been an X factor where it could really win a series for the Golden Knights? I'm not saying it's necessarily going to be, but now I feel for the first time like it could be because of the addition of Hurdle. It's not going to be the Leafs, it's not going to be the Lightning right away, but they've got the pieces, and Hurdle is a piece that they have never quite had before. Oh, by the way, Mark Stone is back, too.
And Anthony Mantha back, too, who's another big body. And just to kind of go through the center, I just look quickly, and they're kind of like Vegas. Dallas is strong. Hurdle's going to be important in the draw. They're strong in the faceoff because they have two guys pretty much in every line. Hintz, Pavelski take draws. Sagan takes draws as well. He's playing the right side with Duchesne. And then Jamie Benn's really strong on the faceoff. He's with those two young guys, Stankoven and Johnson. So, puck possession, it's important. Everybody wants to have the puck. Both these teams will.
Like Vegas, it's a center-heavy team.
Yeah, it's center-heavy.
They got plenty of guys who can take draws. It's funny, Gary, how close. Just Golden Knights go up 3-0 in that series last year. You forget how close it was, though. They won the first two games at overtime.
OT, twice.
They lost game four in overtime. They could have swept them. Pavelski scores on the power play. And then their best, probably, I don't know, you could say the 9-3 blowout of Florida in Game 5 to win it was their best game of the playoffs. But that 6-0 game in Dallas was unbelievable well they played.
I consider it the best game the Golden Knights have played in their history.
Yeah,
like, it was pure domination. And you're right, 9-3 was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty much domination.
The reason I think of that as a better game is quality of opponent. I think Dallas was a way better team than Florida last year. Florida's a good team this year. And they were in the Stanley Cup last year. But I thought for the Golden Knights, it went, you know, Winnipeg was like a 6 in terms of being an opponent. Edmonton was a 9. Dallas was an 8 or a 9. And Florida was a 7. So like they're kind of, they had a hump in the middle, I thought. And that game against Dallas was near perfection.
It just goes to show that the Knights, last year's Golden Knights, could just wear down an opponent. It happened with the Stars. It happened with the Panthers. By the time the series was a couple games in, the Knights' opponent was just gassed. They just couldn't keep up. And the Knights, did, you know, as you just said, Gary, didn't kind of bend to that. And I'm sure there's a lot of factors to it. But, you know, I've heard a few people say that Vegas-Dallas first round, maybe it takes these two teams out of a championship legitimacy because they'll beat the you-know-what out of each other in a long first-round series. Will they then be one of the gas teams in the third or fourth round? So, hey, you want to win the series, number one. Can the Knights do it with, do it in 6 and more or less coast? You know, can Dallas do that to Vegas? That's asking a lot. I don't know how you try to weigh that. You got to win the series, number one.
The other player we have not mentioned that the Golden Knights did not have a year ago is Noah Hanifin.
Yeah.
Who had came in here with Pietrangelo, you know, out due to illness and the appendix situation. Led them in ice time. I think every game Pietrangelo was out. So somebody that, look, he's going to be here. He signs this extension for 8 years. Never has been part of any lengthy playoff run. What an opportunity for him. Looks by the looks of practice, him and Pietrangelo are going to be back together again. To have him be able to
That's
eat
why
up
I give
the
D advantage to Golden Knights because of that addition to Noah Hanifin. You're getting a bona fide number one. They've got, you know, you got two number one guys in him and Alex Pietrangelo. Shea Theodore's considered probably a number one, like, offensive style defenseman. But for an all around, all situation, I love John Stevens uses that term, all situation defenseman. Alex and Pietrangelo, Noah Hanifin, you look around the league, you know, those are top guys, and they have two of them playing together, and the added motivation. These guys that came here because they want to win.
Yes.
They want to win. They like the culture that has been built here. And, I'm excited for play. And I love the other thing about this Golden Knights team, I think last year, and they finished a lot higher. Nobody was picking them. People still picked Winnipeg in round one. Nobody thought against Edmonton. Nobody thought against Dallas. And already it's happening again. Dallas is being picked way more than Vegas around the league. And I think this team thrives on stuff like that.
ESPN, prior to the Edmonton series, it was like 21 of 22. One person picked Vegas to win that series. Remember this name. Tim Kavanaugh. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he does, but he picked the gold. He's the only person at ESPN to pick the Golden Knights to win that series.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, Tim.
You know, you got down the stretch of whether they're going to play Dallas or Edmonton. Yeah. And just selfishly, I was like, I've had enough of all the Edmonton.
I think people in LA would say the same.
Though. Yes. Enough. All right. Let's got a couple minutes left. Yeah. If the Golden Knights are going to win, Shane, and if Dallas is going to win, what's going to happen on both sides of the equation?
Well, I think goaltending is going to be key, and they have the ability. They need one of those two guys or both guys, whatever it takes, to step up and play to their ability. They both have the ability to do it. They need that. And then, as Gary and we talked about, they've got to eliminate that stubbornness in their game and play the right way, which I think they will. And then it's the other key is the mental and physical fortitude to get through it because they know a grind. And I think having gone through it last year helps. You got to mentally prepare yourself for what's coming ahead and the ability to bounce back. I think Jack had a good quote, too. He found the biggest thing to adjust to was momentum shifts. In game, game to game, how to grab it back, how to feed off it when you have it. Because everything is magnified so much. Every little detail of the game, every situation. So I like the fact that they have the experience from last year as well.
I think that's difficult to do. Especially if you're in the other team's building and you haven't had the puck for 7 or 8 minutes and the crowd's going nuts and you can't hear yourself think those massive swings. But I guess somehow, some way, these guys focus and pound their way through it. Gary, what do you look at as the keys to this series?
We haven't seen the Golden Knights game consistently. Well, yeah. They won 11-12 to start the season.
But then it wasn't.
They were very good.
No.
Like, so we haven't seen it. So, like, could this be over in four for Dallas? It could be. Like, if we don't see that dramatic shift from the Golden Knights, this won't be a long series. Dallas is operating at a really high level. I believe the Golden Knights can find it. I believe they will. And I think this is going to be a fantastic series. Vegas did not play a seven-game series last year. I think they're going to play one in the first round.
Mm-hmm. One of the players who was with the team last year but did not play a single Stanley Cup playoff game, but I think will this year, Pavel Dorofeev. Last year, different moments, guys who are not the stars have heroic moments. Amadio, first round, Brett Howden, Dallas. You've got those guys who you would not necessarily expect to have a major impact are in the right position. We've seen Pavel Dorofeev. He played roughly half the games this year, but among the highest goals per game among rookies. Is Pavel Dorofeev one of those guys who pops up in a big moment? And it's a tough lineup to crack right now. I mean, you're going to have guys who played a lot of games for this team, a lot of career games, who are not going to be in the lineup game one, but the Knights did use their depth. They only used, I think it was 19 skaters last time against Dallas, Bluger and Amadio. But point being that you never know when you're going to need somebody, either a role player steps up into a prominent role or a guy who's not in the lineup to step in and make a contribution. And the Knights have done it. Can that happen again? I'm not sure that Dallas is really looking to that in the same way that the Knights are.
All right, Dave, you wrap it with your keys.
Well, I look at, to your point, Dan, can the Golden Knights get, can their depth scoring continue to be the key for them? You know, as much as, you know, you make the point about Howden last year, Michael Amadio scores that double overtime goal in Winnipeg. So I think that's going to be critical for them again. As much as you want to rely on Eichel, Stone, and Marchessault and all the big shots, can their depth scoring shine through again? They don't win last year unless it does.
Well, like game six, we're talking about the fourth line was tremendous in Dallas.
Yeah, so to me, it's can their depth outplay and outproduce the depth of Dallas? I think that's one of the key things I would look at in this series. They did last year. Yeah. What was it, 3-0 after the first game, after first period of game six? Yes. And it was the Wah, Kolesar, Carrier line.
Carrier scored from Kolesar, Carlson from Watt and Smith, which was on the power play. Kolesar from Carrier and Martinez were the first period goals. And by the way, Amadio scored the sixth goal.
So that would be one thing. And you mentioned the goaltending, Shane. Yeah. Look, the other team's going one of the best in the business in Ottinger. It might not just be one of these guys for the Golden Knights. Yeah. Can they have stability in that position? It's going to be critical if they're going to. And the other thing I would just point out is Bruce Cassidy used this term early in the season, and he talked to the team about it. Do we want to be a legacy team and make a run and go at this year after year after year, or do we want to be a one and done? Well, I think the answer is they would love to, you know, be a contender and, you know, make another deep run like Tampa did, like those Penguins teams that won two in a row a few years ago. I wonder if that's somewhere in there. I don't know if it's in their everyday thinking, but big picture, it'd be great to make a hell of a run for this team again. They're in their prime. They loaded up at the deadline again. There's no reason to think they wouldn't be able to do it again.
Best time of year.
It's great. So I say, Shane, the best 2 months in sports, right here. Right. Hopefully it's 2 months. If it's 8 days, it would suck.
Well, it is 2 months. Just hopefully the Golden Knights are part of it.
My interest kind of waits a little if the VGK people are part of it. So anyway. All right, that's going to do it for us. Tune in on the TVs on Vegas 34 and on the radio on 98.9 FM, Fox Sports Las Vegas. We'll have you covered with all you need to know as the Golden Knights and the Stars get ready to go Game 1, Round 1, Monday night from Dallas. We'll talk to you next time on SLGND.
That was the guys on Sunday ahead of Game 1 between the Golden Knights and the Stars. Before we leave you today on SLGND, we share with you comments from head coach Bruce Cassidy in a chat with Dan prior to the regular season finale. Bruce not only gives his overarching view of the direction of the sport, but also his place within it, speaking on the impact he hopes to leave on the game that he loves.
What do you think of the way that the sport as a whole is trending?
Well, I like where it's going. I think you're seeing a lot of team speed, which everyone likes, but we haven't lost physicality. It's still a big part of the game, and I think people watch hockey because they don't want to see guys just flying. I don't think most hockey people don't want to see guys just flying up the ice untouched all night and seeing 12-10 hockey games. I don't think you'd like that. I think they like to see good goaltending. I think they like to see a certain amount of the the physicality or checking part of the game where players have to work, because that's what we just talked about. This is what separates Gretzky from, he wasn't flying up and down the ice. He was getting up and down the ice, but his competitiveness, hockey IQ, ability to play in traffic, it's what separates him. So for a hockey guy that's been involved in my whole life, you have a ton of respect for that. There's a lot of good skaters that can outskate elite, you know, some of the better players, but they never made it because they didn't have the will to try to beat a guy one-on-one. And not every player can be that guy. So it's like being a fan of defense in football, the cornerbacks, right? They got to cover these elite. So that's like defensive defensemen. They take a lot of pride in what they're doing to keep the puck out of the net. And I have a lot of respect for that part of the game. So I like to see that. So I like the fact that offense is trending. Younger players are more and more skilled coming into the league. Yet it's not automatic that skill is going to take over because they've got to be good defenders. And that, to me, is sport, right? It's not – there's the reason why it's called offense and defense, and I like to see the battle of both sides.
You know, not everybody is going to make an impact on hockey like, say, Wayne Gretzky, but people leave marks in one way, shape, or form. What do you think your fingerprints on this game look like, or would you like them to look like?
Well, that's a good question. I think I wanted them to leave him as a player, but that didn't happen. Certainly not in pro. So then, and I wanted to leave as an offensive defenseman, so I was always kind of watching the Doug Wilsons and the Bobby Orrs and Podvan, guys that were putting up numbers and power play guys, and all those three guys were, you know, full both sides of the puck players, which I always valued. But as a coach, I just like to leave teams that played as teams and won. It wasn't, you know, three or four individuals winning. It was team, it was culture, identity. And I'd like people to say, hey, this, I think of myself as, hey, this is the way his teams played. That's the way they played, and they were, you know, successful that way more often than not. And that's kind of what I'd like to leave. And I'd like to leave for the individual players the when they leave the game. So yeah, I enjoyed coming to the rink every day. I enjoyed playing on his teams. Enjoyed playing his style of play, and some of them will go on to be coaches, and you hope a few of them maybe reach out to you later on, say, hey, how'd you deal with this? That's when you know you've built a pretty good bond with a player.
That was Bruce Cassidy providing his perspective on hockey and his influence on it. For the full interview with Bruce, plus more interviews and highlights from all Golden Knights games, visit soundcloud.com/VegasGoldenKnights and follow at VGK Radio Network on X, formerly known as Twitter. For more podcast content, tune into VGK Today, with new episodes every day throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll see you next time on SLGND, presented by Allegiant.